All right, back here on Talkin' Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley. Giants and the White Sox coming up at 1:05. It's Lamont Wade Jr. Bobblehead Day, and the pregame show rolls on. It's my pleasure to welcome our next guest, regular contributor to the show throughout the season, Matt Falcon. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, really looking forward to our conversation. And, hey, All-Star Weekend's coming up a few weeks from now. We're, what, 3 weeks away? MLB deciding on All-Stars right now. Just your thoughts on the voting process, how fair it is, your excitement level surrounding the game. As a fan of baseball, where do you stand with regard to the All-Star game?
I love it. When we refer to it as the Midsummer Classic, that to me is just like something I look forward to every year. It's just, to me, it's one of the great staples of baseball, and I love it. I'm very much looking forward to it. We've got a lot of really good young players, and then some of the players that you've seen over the last several years that are doing their thing, they're still doing their thing, and it to me, just makes baseball so great and so worth watching.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that it's an interesting year from a Giants perspective because, look, it has not been the best 2 weeks. It has not been the best 2 months of baseball for this San Francisco Giants team, but they've still got two or three players who could be all-stars. Jock Peterson certainly looks like a favorite on the position player side. But where do you stand with regard to Carlos Rodon and Logan Webb and their candidacies?
Carlos Rodon should be a lock. I mean, that should be an absolute lock. He's one of the top five in the National League in ERA. That's something that, you know, you kind of expected to see after his first couple of starts. Okay, this guy's going to be pretty good. You know, you kind of get that feeling. But Rodon should definitely be in there. Jock Peterson, as much the power numbers are there for Jock Peterson, even though his batting average isn't, you know, skyrocketed. But it'd be great to see both of them get a shot in there. Other than that, I think this Giants team is really just kind of floating around and surviving. I don't see anybody really jumping off the page as an all-star. The closest thing to an all-star outside of those two players would have been Luis Gonzalez, who's now in. So other than that, I think this team is kind of just floating around.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it'll be interesting to see if Logan Webb makes the team. It'll be interesting to see how the pitching staff shakes out. There's so many good young pitchers around baseball. Matt, you look at the relievers and Ryan Helsley, Josh Hader, just a stacked relief corps in the National League. So I don't anticipate any Giants will be on that list, particularly with the way the bullpen has been pitching of late. But nevertheless, so many different topics I want to cover with you as we look around this great game of baseball. And one of the series that caught my eyes this week was in New York. I like to pay attention to the Oakland A's. I like that the Bay Area is still a two-team market. I'm rooting for the A's success, but just the disparity in talent between the Oakland A's and the New York Yankees was on full display this week at Yankee Stadium. The A's lost three in a row. They got punked by that Yankees team, and this Yankees team, Matt, in my opinion, is one of the best regular season teams we've seen in a while, including the Giants and the Dodgers from last season. What's your take on what we've seen from the Yankees thus far this year?
What I've seen from the Yankees this year so far is kind of like, it's about time. They've had the stacked roster for so long. You look back to their last World Series team back in 2009 and how stacked that roster was. They've looked to add that kind of talent to their roster every year since then, and they've struggled to find the right talent, you know, certain years. And the Giants picked apart three World Series since then. But when they're getting Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Gerrit Cole, and you don't even really start to see their own prospects from their own minor league system because they're just bringing in every Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo they can get their hands on. So it's seeing them be, I think they're 56-20, 56-21, something crazy like that. They are unbelievable, and it's like, finally, after all the money they spend, after all of the guys that they acquire, it's like it's about time. You kind of expected to see this after a while.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been such a fun team. I think they've got like 10 walk-offs at home this year at Yankee Stadium. The Aaron Judge saga has been really interesting. Guy who bet on himself, and it is absolutely paying off. I think that come the offseason, he could be a $300, even $400 million man, depending on where he signs and the teams that are interested in him. And of course, Giants, early rumors to be interested in him. But one of the things that also jumped out at me with that A's-Yankees series is Frankie Montas threw another gem against the Yankees. Ultimately, the A's lose because they never give Montas any run support. To me, he might be one of the most coveted names on the block at this trade deadline, Matt. And I just wonder where you stand headed into the trade deadline. Who are some of the big names you could see on the move?
Yeah, he's been getting Matt caned. It's very...
no doubt.
But, that's definitely one of the big names on the trade block. And when you look at, for instance, how the Giants would like to look at the trade block, starting pitching is going to be key. I mean, the Giants have a lot of guys who can give a lot of innings with the Alex Cobbs and the Alex Woods, and then you still have the return of Matthew Boyd, and you just have so many different moving parts. But with Dee Sclafani struggling the way that he has, and with kind of this question mark outside of Logan Webb and Carlos Rodon through the rest of the rotation, adding a starter who can take you 7-8 innings into a start and then just hand the ball to Camila Doval or hand the ball to Jake McGee to make the job easier for the pitching staff, that's a really big piece that you can add. So Frankie Montas, I was looking earlier at Luis Castillo from Cincinnati, and a couple just names like that. The pitching market kind of figured out. There was a lot of pitchers during free agency that found homes, and so it's not as deep a pitching market. But the hitters, when that time of the year comes, is going to be a really, really big deal.
Yeah, I think that the trade market could get really interesting this year because now you've got 6 playoff slots in each league. You've got 8 to 9 contenders in the National League for these slots. So you could see teams that are more aggressive. And with all of the bad teams around baseball, Matt, right now, the A's, the Reds, the Tigers, Giants have seen a number of them in the last few weeks. Those could all be sellers, and they do have pieces to sell. So it should get really interesting come late July. Trade deadline this year is August 2nd. Wrapping things up with Matt Falcon, who's a regular contributor to Talking Baseball this year. Really looking forward to having you on later on this season as well, Matt. And just to kind of wrap things up, I wanted to ask you about the fight last weekend that we saw between Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim and the Seattle Mariners. You know, some people look at this as a black mark on baseball. Some people say, hey, any news is good news when people are talking about the sport right now because it's fallen behind the NFL, NBA free agency happening right now. Your thoughts on the fight and whether things like that can actually be good for the game or if it really is as bad as it kind of looked down there in Anaheim?
You know what? Anything that has teams throwing at each other is kind of a black eye for the game because you don't want anybody getting hurt. You don't want any balls possibly slipping away and catching somebody in the face or the head or anything like that. And throughout that series, there was a lot of balls just kind of errantly thrown at batters. And one of those batters happened to be Mike Trout. And how bad for the game would it be if a pitcher throws the ball and kind of does to Mike Trout what happened to Bryce Harper, where now one of the hitters in the National League is out because a ball was coming 90 plus miles an hour towards his head. He gets out of the way. It hits his thumb. Now his thumb is broken. And those are the things that are really a black eye for baseball. But as far as the fight is concerned, the aftermath and, you know, the pushing and shoving and the punches thrown, that's all entertainment value. And there's a little bit of a cool entertainment that comes with that. I mean, you got to be realistic. People like to see, you know, stuff like that, but that can't happen regularly. And if there's benches clearing every week and, you know, every series, that's going to become an issue. So,
well said. And I really like your perspective on saying that nothing can happen to a Mike Trout or a Shohei Ohtani because we saw what happened to Bryce Harper, and he's now out 6 to 8 weeks with the Phillies, and that's going to be a really tough injury for Philadelphia to overcome. So, Matt Falcon, great perspective as always, and we look forward to having you on later on this season here on Talking Baseball. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, more coming up with Marty, Bill, and myself, Carey Crowley. You're listening to the Giants pregame show. Giants and the White Sox coming your way at 105 here on KBR 104.5 680 The Sports Leader.